Hello, everyone. Thanks for checking out Mixed Messages today. We got a special little surprise for you as we jump into a rewind with summer calendars and summer schedules and speaking at conferences and doing all the things that tend to be crammed into the summer. Jeff and I are ships in the night, and so we don't have a fresh one for you today, but we do have a good one for you today. So check out this episode as we dig into one of these topics where we can kind of parse through things, shuffle through the information, and really shoot after, can we hear God's voice in all these mixed messages? So let's go ahead and jump into this rewind episode. Hello, everyone. Watch thanks for joining wiggle. Us today. For
see it jiggle.
What in the world?
Remember that gelatin? Jell-O brand gelatin. Of all desserts, you'll love the one.
You think we can get a sponsorship for this episode?
I think we could get some kind of corporate sponsorship.
Absolutely. Let's get a hold of Jell-O. So for those of you not watching, our microphone table is awfully wobbly today. This is where this
it's like
started.
Unbelievably wobbly. Like at any minute, these microphones could crash to the ground.
If you hear
don't
our sound
be surprised.
Going, well, it's not us. It's the microphone moving, jiggling back and forth. Well, thanks for joining us today for our next episode of Jell-O with Mixed Messages or something like that. My name is Joe Caruso, and I'll be your host as we dig into today's topic. Well, from news sources to comedians, friends to advertisements, it seems everyone has an idea of how we should think and live and make decisions. But when everyone disagrees, how do we cut through the noise? How do we sift through all of that information overload and choose what governs our lives? Well, as we pray and process these things, we want to offer a resource to navigate some of the day's most pressing topics and questions, like Jell-O.
Jell-O. You know, Jeff, what's your name? Joe.
It's not Jeff.
It's not?
Yeah. Actually,
I'm
pretty sure it's
for a little while.
If you're a person that would also be around Grace Church, my football coach thought my name started with a D. So you can call me Dave, Don, yeah. Doug, whatever you want.
My mom called me the dog's name for at least the first five years.
What was
years
your dog's name?
Patrick. So she used to yell and she'd be like, Patrick, Jeffrey, get over here. I'm like, listen, Phyllis, I don't have to respond to you if you don't even know my name.
Oh my gosh. That's... When's the last time you ate Jell-O?
Oh man, I don't know, like when the kids were little.
Yeah,
When have you ever just made Jell-O just to have Jell-O?
Personally, no.
No, I never have.
I would say between the three of us at home, so my wife and daughter, Mandy and Ainsley, I don't think we ever have. Now, I was on an extended family vacation probably 12 years ago, and one of our aunts made a bunch of the like Jell-O cubes.
Yeah.
Like Tupperware container after Tupperware container after Tupperware container. And so that week, we did have...
Pounded the Jell-O.
Yeah, we would just eat a lot of Jell-O cubes. But
what is Jell-O? Is it just a chemical mixture?
I mean...
It feels like a byproduct of like...
It's like Kool-Aid
plastic.
And gelatin mixed together. That's
yeah.
pretty much it.
Yeah. It's been years since I've had Jell-O. Yeah. Now, Heidi, being the brilliant person she is, used to take the mix... And she would pop popcorn and put Jell-O mix and shake it and make like candied popcorn.
Oh, okay.
When the kids were little, and it was fantastical.
Huh. Yeah, never.
I don't really know how she did it, but I know Jell-O was involved.
Wow. Yeah, the only thing that we ever make.
Same thing with pudding.
Oh yeah, I don't eat.
I mean, since you were seven, have you ever just eaten pudding?
No.
Pudding.
Unless I was like in an Amish restaurant and they have like a bread pudding or
yeah,
a banana
see that'll
pudding.
Get you.
But those are like real.
The banana bread put. Oh,
oh yeah, that's
I'm
like real
going.
Stuff.
I feel like I just gained 5 pounds.
Just talking about it. That's right. Oh, man. Now, my family does make what's a strawberry pretzel salad, and there's a Jell-O layer in that, and that is a delicious dessert.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I haven't thought about Jell-O much.
Yeah.
Well, a long time until I watched this table wiggle and jiggle, and then it brought back all my childhood trauma.
Well, speaking of childhood trauma, Jeff.
Yes.
Good segue into today's question. So... today's question is kind of short and simple. We recently had a few conversations around here on the weekend about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of a short and sweet question. But according to the New Testament, are we supposed to forgive and forget? That's a very common phrase in our culture. We forgive and forget, all this kind of stuff. But I think a lot of people, when they really dig into forgiveness, have a very hard time forgetting.
Yeah.
And so they're wondering... Am I supposed to? And if I am supposed to, how do I do that? And if I am not supposed to do, then why do we even talk about it that way?
Yeah, It's a great question. Forgive and forget is impossible. Mm. So that's why it's not in the Bible.
And that's the end of our episode.
Yeah. So God can forgive and forget. Mm. So God can throw our sins as far as the east is from the west. He can bury them at the bottom of the sea. He can wash our hearts whiter than snow. He can hold no condemnation against us. We cannot forgive and forget. We can forgive. We cannot forget. Mm. And I think we really get trapped in a shame cycle if we think that we can.
Absolutely.
So if somebody did something to me and I'm supposed to forgive and forget, but I don't forget, what I can assume falsely is that I haven't forgiven, and that's not true. Mm-hmm. What the Bible would say is this, and I kind of lay it out this way. So forgiving is a choice that is a limitless choice. I never stop forgiving. So Jesus uses like a metaphor. He's talking to Peter. Peter's like, should I forgive somebody seven times? Jesus is like, no, 70 times seven. Mm-hmm. So what he's being metaphoric, he's like, yeah, you forgive every time again and again and again and again. That forgiveness is releasing someone who maybe has repented. That's what an apology is. It's mm-hmm. repentance. So maybe they have repented. Maybe they haven't repented. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've never come to you to try to rectify a situation. But it's a choice that you're making internally that is a direct reflection of how Christ works with us. So I sin against Christ a million times a day in ways I don't even understand. And God's grace, his unmerited favor, his mercy upon me, and his willingness to sanctify me, if you kind of take those three things and, you know, mix them together, is what we would tend to say God forgives us again and again and again. Now, I am to confess my sins to God. I am to repent of my sin. I'm to confess my sin to one another, even like to you or whatever friend, you know, that I would have. So it is not the absence of a lack of repentance. It's an absence of the lack of offense. Mm. So I live in a state of grace after salvation, and I live, so to say, in a state of forgiveness, where there is no condemnation on me because I am in Christ. So when he says forgive 70 times seven, that's what he's saying. Like, I'm going to have to forgive you and forgive you and forgive you and forgive you. Now, the reason I have to do that is because I cannot forget. Mm-hmm. So forgetting is more about trust. And when I've offended you, based on the depth of my offense, that's going to directly equal the depth of the violation of your trust. So if we go out, you know, after we record this podcast and go to the parking lot and you back into my truck, mm-hmm. you're like, Jeff, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no big deal, Joe. And we'll fix it. And a year from now, I won't remember that because you didn't really offend me. You didn't violate trust. It was your responsibility. You needed to apologize. You need to take ownership. But you didn't set out to harm me. It was just right. an accident. Who right. cares? Trust is easily restored. If you blasted out my family online because you were mad at me, mm-hmm. and now there's an offense out there, and it's something that cannot be withdrawn, right? So if I slandered you in certain ways, if I attacked your daughter, and you can't unhear that. You put something on the internet, you can't pull something off the internet. That's not the way the internet works, mm-hmm. right? Well, suddenly now, even if I did that to you and I came and repented, I apologized to you, to Mandy, to your daughter, and you guys said, we forgive you, you cannot forget, mm-hmm. because the ramification of my sin against your family is deep and far-reaching. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to forgive me limitlessly. Mm-hmm. Because every time you remember, every time the ramification of my sin against you bears its head, mm-hmm. Every time that your daughter struggles to trust her pastor because I was a jerk to her, that it's literally a lifetime of ramifications. Mm-hmm. where you are not withdrawing forgiveness. You actually are committing to extend it again and again and again, but you cannot erase the memory of what happened to necessitate forgiveness in the first place. So your trust of me would be broken deeply. I can rebuild trust, and I can rebuild relationship, but the trust would never be the same, because if I did it again, it's like a double violation. We're twice as deep as we were the first time. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So it's the way God created us. And so that's why, you know, the scripture would say, love keeps no record of wrongs. Mm-hmm. That is not, if you love somebody, you forget everything they ever did. That is, I don't hold the old offense against you in the new situation. When I've done marriage counseling or even been a part of it, one of the things that I try to teach couples is don't fight yesterday's fight. That's how relationships disintegrate, mm-hmm. right? Because you're keeping that record wrong. And people will say, well, I can't forget it. And I'll say, no, now you're choosing not to forgive it, mm-hmm. right? Nobody's asking you to forget it. But when you bring it back up and throw it out as a weapon, you're choosing not to forgive now.
Right.
So does the Bible say we should forgive and forget? Of course it doesn't. It doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't forget, but he continually forgives. He just doesn't hold against us.
Right.
And we struggle to function, of course, in that way as we seek to follow him.
I've been thinking about this in conjunction with Jesus's parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get back to that in a second, because like when we think about forgiveness, it's this language of like forgetting a debt. So if you owed somebody money and they said, don't worry about it, I have been forgiven of that debt.
Yeah.
And then if something else comes up and I owe them money again, like, well, remember, you owe me from last time too. It's like, well, wait a minute, I thought you forgave me. Well, if you owe both times, you didn't forgive it.
Yeah.
If you only owe from the new offense, then you did forgive me the first time. Now we're talking about something new and something different. The parable of the talents is a fascinating way that God talks to us almost about building trust. Like, oh, I can trust you with these little things. Now I realize I can trust you a little bit more. And so when we have these like building offenses, we can actually work to build trust with people. Like you said, like, I don't forget that you hurt me before, but now I'm seeing a different track record. You bumped into my car last week, but you've been driving very safely ever since.
Yeah.
You know, or last time you borrowed my car, you didn't bring it back full of gas and it was filthy. You apologized, you rectified it, you borrowed it again. Oh, it came back clean and it was gassed up. Like, okay, you're starting to rebuild that trust with me, even though I forgave you from the get-go. And so this relationship of forgiveness and trust seems to have a unique correlation too. Now, how do you work through forgiveness with somebody that doesn't admit to doing anything wrong?
Forgiveness is a choice and it's a habit.
Hmm.
And so I forgive people all the time who don't admit they did anything wrong. They might be people who are dead. Mm-hmm. And what they did hurt me. I might not realize how much it hurt me until later on in life when I am, like, you know how you don't fully understand your parents until you become a parent,
yeah.
right? So later on in life, I might not fully understand, like, man, that what they did back then, and I remember it, and I'm 53 years old, and it still affects me. Well, they cannot apologize. How that affects me is going to be based on whether they did it intentionally, or they did it maliciously. But I can forgive them. And all I'm doing when I do that is I'm releasing their hold on my life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was falsely accused from something, and the false accusation paralyzed him. And I looked at him, I said, when are we going to be unparalyzed by this? Because, well, people know, and people, I'm like, you think that they do. That person's living rent-free in your head.
Mm-hmm.
They're controlling you far beyond an accusation. They're controlling every aspect in your life. because you have not forgiven them and moved on. Mm-hmm. So we, forgiveness is something I can offer without it being asked for.
Yep.
Now, it probably won't restore a relationship, and it certainly won't rebuild trust. But I can offer that. You might offer that when an employee malfunctions with you at the airport, or somebody cuts you off in traffic, or a politician really offends you, or you read something online. You walking around bitter about that from a person that you don't know or can't interact with, forgiveness frees you from that. So when we think of, a lot of times when we think of forgiveness, we think of forgiveness as an obligation. And I think there's truth in that because we have been forgiven. And so Jesus says we're to forgive as we've been forgiven. Mm-hmm. I think of forgiveness certainly as an obligation or responsibility, but I think of it as freedom. Mm-hmm. And I've just decided that the pain you cause is not going to be the thing that defines me in life. I'm moving past you. The Bible says, as much as it's up to you, live at peace with all men. Mm-hmm. And what I like to say is sometimes it's not up to me.
Yep.
So if I can restore a relationship, I will. If I can pursue you, I will. But sometimes I can't. I have people that have been close to in my life, been a part of the church. I think pastors actually go through this a lot, where we feel abused and abandoned. Mm-hmm. We've invested our lives heavily, and somebody's like, I don't know. I don't like this anymore. I'm going here now. It cuts very, very deeply. I've had people do that, and I followed them up. And one time, one family said, please don't contact us anymore. And I'm like, I thought we were friends. Like, I am completely bewildered mm-hmm. by what's going on. Now, that can rob me of confidence, joy. It can lead me to bitterness. I can be mowing my grass and telling them off in my mind. Or I can forgive them and move on. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to abandon the relationship. I would love for it to be restored. They won't let it be. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to free myself by freeing them of their offense. Mm-hmm. Now, can I forget it? Well, no, I just brought it up.
Right.
Right? Is it going to go, do I trust them the way that I used to? No. Like, we'd have to work on that because I am completely perplexed.
Sure.
I don't know. So like, no, I don't trust the same way. Am I holding them at an arm's length? No, mm-hmm. they are forgiven. Are they holding me at an arm's length? Yes. I don't even know why.
Yeah. Well, that's very comparable to what like the ultimate act of forgiveness is doing for us. Like Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He set the table for reconciliation to happen by offering forgiveness.
Yeah.
But it takes two to tango. It takes the other person now repenting, as his parables talk about, and saying, oh, I need to come back to this relationship, take ownership for what I've done in it, and now receive your forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so I think what you're saying makes tons of sense.
I just watched, do you watch The Chosen? You like mm-hmm. The Chosen? So I just watched, I think it's episode 3 or 4 of season 2 last night. And it's interesting, this conversation between Peter and Jesus was dramatized mm-hmm. in The Chosen. The Chosen is not the Bible, everybody. It's a drama of the Bible, but it was dramatized there. And they centered it around Peter's bitterness toward Matthew, who was a tax collector.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to do a little bit of research and watch The Chosen to understand the plot line there. But Peter sat down with Jesus and said, he did this, he did this, he did this. And Jesus had talked to Matthew and said, Matthew, why don't you ask for forgiveness? And he did, and Peter didn't give it to him right away. So Peter went through all these things that Matthew did, and Jesus said, what did that lead to? And he's like, well, it led to this and this. And he goes, no. He goes, it led to you following me, Peter. Mm-hmm. And a light bulb went on. Peter went and forgave Matthew because he realized that the relational breakdown was a part of how God formed him, shaped him, and molded him. Mm-hmm. So the reason I forgive ultimately is because God is defining my life. The person who sinned against me is not defining my life,
no.
And I am not defining my life. And the pain that the person who sinned against me brought into my life is a part of God's definition of it.
Sure.
So forgiving someone is ultimately trusting God's work in my life. That's why the scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and don't repay evil for evil," the Bible says. Because I'm interfering what God's using to mold me and shape me. So when I look back on my life and I look at people who hurt me deeply, who marked me, they made me into who I am, which makes me capable in part of doing what God has called me to do. When I experience fresh pain, I count that as joy, because the testing of my faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that I'm mature and complete, not lacking anything. Mm-hmm. When I experience fresh pain, someone hurt, most pain comes from people. Someone hurt me, and in part, God allowed them to hurt me because he's molding me and shaping me. When that whole perspective takes root in us in our walk with God, what happens is forgiveness becomes easier.
Yeah.
Because I'm not looking for the person who hurt me to make me whole. God's going to make me whole. I'm not actually looking for your response. That's always helpful, and I want a relationship restored. I can't forget, but I can trust and allow God, and that helps me or empowers me to forgive, because his greater plan is always at work.
Yeah. I mean, that's really helpful.
I'm going to make that decision. If you sinned against me, that is not a one-time decision. That now is a habit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably more practically what Jesus meant with his numerical metaphor. It wasn't if they sin against you 490 times. It was you might have to forgive this person 490 times for the exact same thing.
That's right. And nuances of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you take a deep offense like a extramarital affair. Mm-hmm. How can a couple ever rebuild their marriage? I forgave him. No, you're going to forgive him the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It's going to be the habit of forgiveness, because that pain is going to rear its head in a thousand ways. When you've been abused or abandoned as a child, it's a habit of forgiveness, because that pain is going to rear its head in a thousand different ways. When you've been lied against, when there's an accusation, when there's injustice. And the only way that breaks the cycle of pain and pride and violence and retaliation, the only thing that breaks that is forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to offer that again and again and again and again. So forgiveness is not a decision. It's a habit. And it's a habit that God practices us with us, and would want us to practice with each other.
Jeff, I want to ask you one last follow-up question. So we talked a lot about us offering forgiveness. We talked a lot about how other people, if we're going to see reconciliation, there's got to be this repentance and back and forth. What do you do with the person in the scenarios that expects the mercy? So they're not necessarily repenting, but they're holding the fact that you're supposed to forgive me over your head.
Yeah, me forgiving you is not me not me erasing consequences from your life. And so grace cannot be demanded. It has to be given. So I can forgive you and you can go to jail.
Sure.
I can forgive you for your late payment and expect you to make that payment double next month. And so what that person is demanding is enablement. They're not demanding forgiveness. And you cannot... If you are demanding forgiveness from someone else, then you have not repented. Repentance is a brokenness. It's an emptying. It's a dropping to one's knees and assuming full responsibility for your sin.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go to someone and demand that they forgive you. You can go to them and repent for what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're demanding that, then you're actually not repenting, and you're asking to be enabled, and the scripture would speak directly against both of those things.
Very, very helpful. It was interesting because as this question came in, we had a couple of other questions right along those lines come in, so it's good to interact with folks kind of in real time when we can. Well, I hope this is helpful. This conversation cuts to the core for a lot of folks, as Jeff mentioned, sometimes there are deep wounds that are at the source of asking, how do we forgive? And so we understand that, we resonate with that. And if you need any help navigating those uniquenesses or figuring out how to process these things, like, we want to be here for you as your church. If you have any questions that you'd like to submit and have us address on the podcast, you can always do that at bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. We'd love to continue to engage those questions if they come up in your life. If you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more of it, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And if you're looking for a room full of people and a life of a lot of folks figuring out how to follow Jesus and learn how to forgive even when they can't forget, you can join us here at Grace as we continue to follow Jesus in these ways. Thank you for jumping in with us today as we continue to see God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. See you next time.